And so I hope you've made some spiritual resolutions to grow in your faith in 2014, to maybe read your Bible clear through in 2014, maybe to develop a stronger prayer life, maybe to be more faithful, more active in church. You've started the year in the house of God. Amen. Maybe make a determination today to every Lord's Day be here, every service be here. And I promise that it'll help you grow in your faith in 2014. Maybe we've made a spiritual resolution, be a better witness, a better testimony for the Lord. You know, folks, when we name the name of Jesus Christ and call ourselves Christians, everywhere we go, we represent Him. And so we have a responsibility to be a better witness and better testimony for the Lord. I would like you to keep your spot there in Romans chapter 4, and please turn to Philippians chapter 3. I believe that we see this in the Apostle Paul, and that he made spiritual resolutions, maybe yearly resolutions, maybe monthly resolutions, or even daily resolutions. Were spiritual resolutions. He didn't procrastinate. See, we joke in our house. Imagine that. You know, you put seven people in the house, we tend to joke around. But we joke about procrastination. Any of the kids procrastinate, parents? Or maybe all of them. All of them procrastinate. And I joke, well, hey, why do today what you can put off till tomorrow? It's like, well, that's not helping matters, Dad. And so we want to be not procrastinators. But I believe that back on track, we see that the Apostle Paul made some resolutions in his life that were spiritual resolutions. Please notice there in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." A very fitting verse as we go from an old year to a new year. Okay, say it with me, like Brother Schuler to a new year, like young Miss Barb, ready to attack the year. Amen? Pretty good? No? Amen. I think that's funny. Now that cracks me up. Amen. But I got to keep on track. Praise the Lord. But Paul here practiced this principle of forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Notice verse 14. He says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And so as we go through this time of the year and everything that we might be feeling right now as we change years, maybe make some New Year's resolutions, I'm confident that Paul felt the same way, reflecting on his past, reflecting on what God has done in his life, thinking about the new year, thinking about the future, just like you and I think about it. We think about our future. We think about the decisions that will be coming. We think about the things that will take place in our lives, in the lives of our families, in the lives of our church in the coming year. But I believe Paul had anticipation, just like you and I have. He had hope. He had important decisions, new beginnings, a brighter future, because I believe he made his resolution spiritual resolution. He thought about eternity. Amen. This really goes hand in hand with the Sunday school lesson. Thank you, Brother Gassler, for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God, for that. How it really tied things together. I believe that Paul didn't dwell on his past. Now, that doesn't mean that we erase it. Okay? I believe Paul didn't dwell on it. Now, we look at Paul's life and his testimony, we can see that he had past failures. Okay, and I can testify, I've had past failures. You can probably testify the same thing. And so whether they were past failures or past successes, amen, praise the Lord for those too. He didn't dwell on either, but he did what he said in verse 14 of Philippians 3. Well, I'm going to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, we don't want to live in the past, whether it's negative things in the past or even positive things in the past. We want to rejoice in what God has done, but go forward for God in the coming year and look forward to a bright future, a bright 2014 of knowing God and serving God. Paul said later in Philippians that I may know Him. Amen. Now, when he wrote that, he was already a born-again Christian, but he wanted to know Him better. Amen. Is that your harsh desire in 2014? Know Him better. Say, well, I've read my Bible through. Well, read it again. Amen. Study it again. Read it again. Well, you know, I got prayer down. Well, keep praying. Amen. There's more to learn. Okay, that we would know the Lord better this coming year. And so I believe we find this principle as well in the life of Abraham. We're looking at Abraham This morning in Romans chapter 4, if we get back to our text there in Romans chapter 4, we see an Old Testament patriarch, how he clearly made some resolutions in his life, some decisions about his faith. We know that he was a man of faith. A man of faith. And not just, you know, faith, you know, in itself, but faith in God. A man of faith in God. Galatians chapter, this is crooked. I usually don't do well with crooked things. Wow. Have you ever heard the term OCD? They say that I have those tendencies. Bear with me. Take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 4. No, I'm not starting over. That was a joke. Brother Becker, help me. No, I'm not starting over. Okay. Abraham was a man of faith. Faith in God. Strong faith. Galatians chapter 3. Is that bothering you? Or is that... It's just bothering me, right? Okay, all right. It's a new year, Brother Jameson. Deal with it, okay? Make some resolutions. Get past it. That's where my hair is gone. Amen. Galatians chapter 3, verse 9 says, "So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." It's a blessing that the Bible, God Himself, could speak of other men and speak of them in that regard. And we can look at Father Abraham. Hey, the Bible says that Father Abraham had many sons. Well, the Bible doesn't say that, but we know the song, amen. And but a man of faith, he was chosen by God to be the father of many nations. According to verse 16 of our text today, he is even called the father of us all, even of Gentile believers. Aren't you glad that salvation came to the Gentiles? Praise God for that. James tells us that he was called the friend of God. And what a blessing to have the greatest record that's on the face of the earth, the Word of God, saying that this man, Abraham, was a friend of God. Would it be a blessing? It says of others, Enoch, how he walked with God. Amen. Moses and in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, how he had rather stand with the people of God than go into Egypt and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What a blessing that God's Word would say that of men. We could say that Abraham was a successful Christian. We could say that the Apostle Paul was a successful Christian as well. Now, why can we say that? Why can we be confident in saying that? And I believe it's this, folks, is that we can look at their lives and testimonies and say that they made some spiritual resolutions. Okay. Now, did the new year come around and Abraham say, "Well, I need to lose a little weight"? I don't know. He may have or may have not said that. They may have had other life resolutions. But I think the key in their life is, their lives were that they made spiritual resolutions. I believe that Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6 were diligently and wholeheartedly practiced by these men. A familiar couple of verses: "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Well, you know what that explains, folks? That explains faith very well. Okay. Well, what is faith? Lean not unto your own understanding. Well, I think this, and so thinks that. Well, what does God think? Amen. What does God think? That's what I love about our pastor and his teaching and his preaching. It says, well, we can look at a lot of opinions and talk about a lot of things, but it really doesn't matter. We need to get to the Word of God, amen, and see what God says, amen. "Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Folks, 2014, we have a path to live. We have a path to walk, and we want God to direct our paths, do we not? So I believe what we find here in our text are three things we're going to look at this morning that gave Abraham success as a believer, and I believe it'll do the same thing for us. Do you want success this year as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ? I do. Amen. Now, success doesn't mean that there's going to be a big paycheck in the mailbox. Why do we think that? A successful year is a big paycheck or a big tax return or big lump sums of money. Amen. Well, that's not necessarily success in God's eyes, but growth as a Christian. Amen. Faithfulness to the Lord. Okay. Doing things that God wants us to do, that's success as a Christian. I believe, folks, also we can look at this passage here and see the heart of Jesus and see the heart of our Heavenly Father that He has for His children, His heart's desire. And so as we look at these things in Abraham's life and we with God's help make effort to apply them to our lives, I believe this is the heart of God for us in the coming year. For us in 2014 as individual believers, as families, but also as a church family. Amen. It's a blessing to have a church family to pray for one another. Often, you know, I have a little bit length of a drive to work, and so I'm thinking about the church family, pray for the different families. You know, one thing good is, you know, a lot of folks sit in the same place unless you're Brother Becker. You know, one day, you know, in 1 week he's over there, next week he's over there. It's like, well, where is he? Like, where's Brother Becker? Where's Waldo? I don't know. Amen. But you think where people sit and think, oh, yeah. Oh, remember the Daniels in prayer and the Myers and Terrence and Dean and the Goldfors. And it's just all the different families of the church and pray for one another. Isn't it a blessing to have a church family and to love and pray for one another. So when we get back here and we see the things that Abraham had in his life, I believe this is the heart of God for his children. And so first, let's look in Romans chapter 4 there, verse 20. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20, it says, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." And so I believe God is speaking to us this morning and tells us the first thing that He wants us to do. Our God's heart's desire for us, Jesus, our great shepherd, the shepherd's heart for us, is simply this. Point one is to be strong in the faith. You know, this is not any faith. Faith and faith. No, we're talking about the faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the one that died for us, the one that went to Calvary for us, the cross, and shed His blood for us. Faith in Jesus Christ. What we find here in our text in regards to Abraham and his life, this is in regards to the birth of Isaac. You see, folks, Abraham and Sarah were strong in the faith. We think about this time in their lives. They were no spring chickens. You know, it's funny where we get our terminology and the phrases. I'm not sure what a spring chicken is. Anyone know what a spring chicken is? I mean, we make, you know, like Miss Barb, she's young, you know, so she might be a spring chicken. Brother Schuller, not, okay? Just a reference, okay? But truly, when we look at Abraham and Sarah, boy, they were no youngsters here. I mean, they weren't newlyweds. You know, they were up in years, and that we find that they were strong in faith. Now, if Abraham were not of faith, as we look at the scriptures, we see that he would have considered his body now dead. Okay, the older you get, I think your body speaks to you. Am I right? Your body tells you things. Like things like, don't do that no more. It's like, or your body tells you to stay in the bed. But you know, the teenagers would say that. Right, Joe? Joe's laughing. Just stay in the bed, Joe. It's like, no. But our bodies tell us things, okay? And we, you know, we could talk to Abraham. We will someday in the glories of heaven. He might even testify that, yeah, my body told me some things, but this is what God said. But if he didn't have faith, he would have considered his body now dead. He might have complained of being 100 years old. He might have emphasized the deadness of Sarah's womb. I mean, she is 90 years old. Okay. But what we find here in the text and the Word of God is that Abraham and Sarah were of faith. They were strong in the faith. Strong in the faith. They did not look at their physical selves and their physical abilities. They did not look at those things, but what they looked at were the promises of God. You see, and you and I, here we are in 2014, we're no different. Okay, we're looking at two things. Okay, here we are, 2014. This is, you know, here are my physical limitations. Okay, but here are the promises of God. Amen. And so we make our decisions, daily decisions, even hourly decisions, or even, you know, short amount of time than that, based upon these two things. Are we going to listen to our carnality and our flesh, or are we going to embrace the promises of God? You see, these things over here, the carnal things, the fleshly things, those are a part of our lives. We can't get away from that while we're in this old flesh. Okay, you know, there's nothing good in this flesh. Paul said that. But we have the promises of God that we can base our lives and our decisions on. Amen. And those are the things that we are to elevate and diminish our own understanding. It's like we looked at in Proverbs chapter 3. Lean not unto your own understanding, but all thy ways acknowledge Him. Amen. But trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And so I believe that's exactly what Abraham and Sarah did. They didn't look at themselves. They didn't look at their circumstances. They looked at the promises of God. God said we're going to have a baby. Amen. Wouldn't that be a blessing? When you're 90 years old, almost 100, we're going to have a baby. Everybody's like, no way, Jose. Maybe grandparenthood. Amen. But no way, Jose. But that's what God told them. They're going to have a baby. Somehow, some way, this was going to happen. Throw the baby shower. Amen. Decorate the nursery in blue. Hey, God said it's going to be a son. See, those ultrasound techs, they ain't got nothing on God. They can make a mistake. Oops. I thought it was this, or I thought it was that. No. God said it's going to be a son. It's going to be a son. So decorate the nursery in blue. Take the Lamaze classes. Man, how many took Lamaze classes? I confess, I took them once. Once was enough. Come on, guys. It's me and the brother. Breathe. Amen. I took those classes once. Once was good enough. Amen. Abraham, I doubt Abraham took the classes. Okay, but regardless, they believed God, what God said, what God was going to do. You're going to have a son. I'd like you to notice here, keep your spot there in Romans. We'll turn back to Genesis 17. I really want you to see this. Genesis chapter 17, verse 19. And we see how they were strong in the faith because they rested and trusted in the promises of God. And so I want you to notice that specific promise here in Genesis 17, verse 19. So God gave Abraham this promise, this promise in Genesis 17, verse 19. It says, "And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son. Indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." And so this was God's promise to Abraham and Sarah. Folks, this is why we still love and we still pray for Israel. They still are. They were and are God's chosen people. We see that here in the promise as well. An everlasting covenant with his seed. And so we see that here in Genesis 17, 19. Keep your spot there. Because we're going to get back to that in a few moments here. But we see when we think of Abraham, Romans 4:20, what we read in our opening, says that he was strong in the faith. Now, folks, I'm afraid too often here in our day, in the New Testament age, we look at Bible characters, Old Testament patriarchs, even faithful Christians today, and we think, well, we can't have faith like that. Well, folks, you can. You can. And God wants that for you, to have that kind of faith. We can have that kind of faith. And so I want to emphasize this morning where Abraham's strong faith came from. He didn't run down to the five and dime store to pick up some faith. Or we might run down to Walmart to pick up some things. Well, there, you know, faith isn't there, you know. Faith isn't at Walmart. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. And but I want us to notice here back in Genesis 17:19. I want you to read to me those first three words. What's it say? And God said. And God said. See, where did Abraham's faith come from? Where did Sarah's faith come from? I believe it was rooted right there. And it says, and God said. Okay, they were trusting and resting in the promises of God. And that's all that it took for Abraham. Did he have to memorize the first five books of the Bible to be strong in the faith? Well, not at all. Did he have to go to Bible college and get a doctorate to be strong in the faith? No, not at all. And I'm not making light of memorizing Scripture, going to Bible college, or anything of that sort. But I want us to understand this morning that we can be strong in the faith, just like Abraham, by embracing what he embraced when it simply said, and God said. And God said, and so there was, here we find the formula for Abraham's strong faith. The formula. You love algebra and geometry? Amen, Brother Beck. I sure know he would love the good things of life. I'm afraid that me and Brother Becker are the nerds in the bunch. Are we?
I'm there.
He's there. He'll confess. Any other nerds in the bunch? Come on, guys. All right. Yes. I was gonna say the step to recovery is evading the problem, but that's no problem. That's not a problem being a nerd. You guys are just jealous. You wish you were nerds like the rest of us. No. They say my boys are nerds. I believe that they are. Nerds. Now, where was I?
Algebra.
Okay, why am I talking about algebra? Formulas. Okay, formulas, right. I think it was in geometry. There was the theory of substitution or something. You had to prove it. You had to prove something. Anybody remember that or no? It's like, you're crazy, Brother James. I don't know what you're talking about. I used to always, you know, if I didn't know what it was, it'd be substitution. The theory of substitution. That's not a good way to do things. Anyways, talk about math. Talk about formulas. And say, so the simple formula for this, for Abraham's strong faith, didn't happen by accident, was this. God said it. Amen. God said it. Okay. Plus, he chose to believe it. Okay, Abraham chose to believe it. Okay, let me put parentheses, because there's all in algebra. There's parentheses and letters. Oh, my kids get so frustrated. Why are there letters and parentheses in math? It's not supposed to be there. Math is numbers. Well, praise the Lord, algebra. Amen. The wonderful world of algebra. Yeah, Brother Becker, praise the Lord for algebra. Amen. Ugh. The parentheses. His belief. He chose to believe it, but real belief acts upon it. Okay, he didn't say, oh, okay, God, I believe you. No, the parentheses, he chose to believe it. Okay, he acted upon it. Equals, in our equation, him being strong in the faith. Simple formula. God said it. He chose to believe it. And again, real belief is acting upon your belief. And the equals was him being strong in the faith. Do you want to be strong in the faith? See, this is a simple formula. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 4. Let's back up to verse 3. Romans chapter 4, verse 3, it says, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham what? Believed God. Boy, that sounds like something I can do. I can believe God. Amen. You can believe God. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. In verse 18 of our text here, it says, who against hope believed in hope. You say, God promised them a son, but everything is against us, physically speaking. How can this be? How can this be, God, that Sarah and I can conceive and have a son, and he could be it could be an everlasting covenant for all the nations? How can that be? And it was against hope. It was against reason. But folks, understand, that's what faith is. Because we try to reason things out, plan things out, and it doesn't work. And it comes back over here, Brother Vogelbaum says, well, God said. This is what God said. Okay? And so we have two choices. We're juggling here. And what are we going to do with what we're thinking or with what God said? Who against hope believed in hope. It's true, folks, that his body was saying one thing. Just wait till you're 99. Your body might be saying some things when you're 99. Amen? But God was saying something different. God was saying something different. And Abraham chose to believe God. And so, folks, I want us to understand, grasp the simple principle today, the simple truth, is that you can be strong in the faith. You can be a strong Christian. Amen? Amen? You know, we don't have to do wrong. Okay? Our decisions determine our destiny. I made a decision to receive Christ as my Savior. That determined my destiny. I'm going to heaven now. Amen. I'm glad for that. I joke with Levi. Levi was born in the year 2000, so it's always easy to figure out his age. I told him, just think, Bub. I call him Bub. And I said, just think, in the year 2100, you'll be 100 years old. He goes, no, not really. or will that really be? I said, yeah, if the Lord tarries, you know, we'd reach that year. And I said, I would be, what we figure, Bob? I'd be like 134 or 135. But I told him, at that point, I may be in heaven. Amen. And so I'm glad for that. I'll be in heaven. Amen. Why? Well, it's not that I was just walking through a field one day and I'm going to heaven. No, it's because I made a conscious decision to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And if you're here today as a born-again Christian, you've done the same thing. When you were shown the Word of God, you were shown your condition before a holy and just God, and that you saw that Jesus paid your price and Jesus paid my price. And you made the conscious effort and decision to receive Him as your personal Savior. So what I'm saying, folks, is that we can do right. We can be strong in the faith. Amen. We can make choices. Aren't you glad for that? We can make choices. And we can make the right choices. We don't have to do wrong. We don't, at that point when we got saved, we could either reject Christ or accept Christ. Okay? And what do we do now? Well, we can accept His ways. We can accept the Word of God and grow and strengthen our faith. Or we can choose to do that or choose not to do that. The Bible teaches us the principle of sowing and reaping. What you reap, what you sow, you'll reap. Amen? So understand this simple truth this morning, is that you can be strong in the faith. And you might think, I'm no different. I can't do that or I can't do that. Well, you can. You can. You can do the things that God wants you to do. As a born-again believer, you should be strong in the faith. What you had to do is do what Abraham did. He believed what God said. It wasn't casual belief. It wasn't casual belief. It was genuine, trusting belief with your whole heart. You might believe that an ibuprofen would relieve you of a headache or, we're talking about physical pain. It's like, oh yeah, my body hurts. So you might believe that might help give you some relief, but when does it become trusting? Well, when you take it. I mean, it's real simple. Okay, you might believe that a parachute, that if you put it on, Brother Vogel, we're picking on Brother Vogel, so we want to see if this parachute really works, right? So I believe it'll work, so we're going to strap it on Brother Vogel and push him off an airplane. Who wants to push? Brother Becker says no. Miss Sarah, I'll push, she'll push. So I believe that parachute's going to save Brother Vogel. Well, when do I have trusting belief in it? Well, when I strap that thing on and I jump out. See, there's a difference. There's a difference in casual belief, and there's a difference in trusting belief. Abraham had trusting belief. He said, well, how did he get strong in the faith? He trusted God, and he acted upon it. Trusting belief. This kind of trusting belief directs your lives. It guides your decisions. It emphasizes the clear distinction between right and wrong and chooses right. That's what trusting belief does. That's the kind of belief that is required for your soul to be saved. If you came to Jesus Christ in casual belief, I'd be concerned about your genuine salvation. I really would. In Sunday school, Brother Gasser brought out how Paul said, I know whom I believed. Amen. And am persuaded. I like that. Okay. A persuasion. Okay. I'm not going to be moved from it. Okay. That's real belief we're talking about here. Real belief. The devil believes. The devil believes. We see that in James, that the devil believes. And so that in itself could teach us and show us that if we're going to be born again believers in Christ that are strong in the faith, there must be a different form of belief here. That's what we're looking at. Genuine, trusting belief in God that guides and directs our lives. And so the first point this morning, God's heart for us, I believe, is that we would be strong in faith. In 2014. Secondly, let's notice again in our text in Romans chapter 4, verse 20. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And so first of all, in 2014, let's be strong in faith. Secondly, let's give glory to God. Giving glory to God. Real simple message this morning. We see that Abraham was strong in faith and he gave glory to God. And so being strong in faith accomplished God's perfect will for Abraham. Okay? Just as much as God had a perfect will and plan for Abraham, he has a perfect will and plan for each one of us here today. Amen. And step one is be strong in the faith. And being strong in the faith gives glory to God. Folks, I'm here to testify this morning that Abraham was made to glorify God. Okay? Abraham was made to glorify God. He was made to please God. And folks, we're no different. I would like you to notice in Colossians chapter 1. Keep your spot there. Look in Colossians chapter 1. So Abraham was made a certain way. A Ford vehicle is made a certain way. Well, they're just good vehicles. Amen?
Amen!
Well, Ford fans? Amen. Well, Joe, you're a Chevy fan? A Chevy guy. Amen. Dodge people? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, a Ford, yeah, I'm saying I used to be, you know, I'm a Ford guy, but now I'm whatever I can afford guy. Amen. That's how it works, okay? I presently own two Dodges, okay? Praise the Lord for them. Amen. Yeah, you gotta be careful what you say. Amen. But I have a Dodge Dakota. And before I bought the Dakota, I tried to buy two Fords, amen, but they didn't want to deal with me. And so it's like, okay, you know, no more bargain, so I'm on my way. And so God gave me a Dodge. Praise the Lord, amen. Praise the Lord, yeah, amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Sometimes I lose track of where I'm at. Let's get back on track here. Colossians 1, 16, we say that Abraham was made to glorify God. Abraham was made to please God. So he was made with a specific purpose. And if we're not accomplishing that purpose that God created us for, then we're not bringing glory to Him. Notice there in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." Notice that last phrase that says, "All things were created by Him." And what? And for Him. See, Abraham knew that, well, I'm made for God's glory. I'm made for God. And so his heart's desire were to do the things that please God. Okay? Do the things that please the Lord. You see, folks, we were not made for ourselves. We were not made to seek our own pleasures and desires. We were not made to do whatever we please. We were made for God. We were custom made. Amen. Custom. Amen. I mean, you feel like custom made. A custom made person, made by God. Amen. And made for Him. Amen. And what brings honor and glory to Him is when we accomplish what we were created for. We have squirrels in our neighborhood. Any of you have squirrels in your neighborhood? Boy, they're the funniest little critters. You know, I'm convinced that they enjoy life. Boy, they run around, they play, and they'll fight and feud and push each other around, but I'm convinced they have a blast. Amen? You convinced of that? You know what they're doing? They're doing what God created them to do. And you're thinking, man, I wish I was a squirrel. Amen? Amen? But they're simply doing that. That was what God created them for. What about you and I? Are we doing the things that God created us for? We were made for Him. Revelation 4:11 says this, "For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." What a good theme verse to have for the year, that all the things that we do would please God. Amen. And think of it this way, put a smile on the face of God and please Him. He's pleased today. You started the first Sunday of the year in church. God's pleased with that. That pleases your Father. Amen. You only please God, you only glorify God when you do what you were made to do. Some thoughts on that? You were made for Him. We've seen that already. Not only that, you were made to be saved. Okay? If a person's lost and on their way to a devil's hell, they weren't made for that. Hell was made for the devil and his angels, not made for mankind. You're made to be saved. Okay? Heaven's made for us. Amen. You're made to be saved. You were made for His pleasure. You were made for His glory. Amen. And so what we find here in this simple passage of Scripture is that Abraham and Sarah were strong in the faith. And as a result, they gave glory to God. They gave glory to God. So the Bible testifies that here that they were both strong in the faith and gave glory to God. And so here we are going into a new year. Let's embrace these truths that we can do this. We can be strong in the faith and we can give glory to God. And there's one more point we find here in this verse, in this passage. And the third thing that I believe God desires for us in 2014 is what we find in verse 21. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And it's this simple truth, to be fully persuaded, to be fully persuaded. I made reference a moment ago to what Paul said to Timothy. I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. When you got saved, you committed your soul to God. Amen. God doesn't lose it. You know, we lose things. You know, where's our keys? Where's this or where's that? He is able to keep us. He has the power to keep us. Paul was persuaded. Could we say, if we were to take a commentary on the life of Paul, that there were times when things were against him and things looked dim in his life? I would say so. I mean, read the book of Acts. You think, well, that looks like a blessing, Paul. You know what I mean? You know, I'm amazed at that what he went through in Jerusalem. He was determined to go back. And persecuted and beaten, imprisoned. And I love what God said in the midst of it all. God came to Paul and said, as you've testified of me in Jerusalem, you'll testify of me in Rome. When it was looking like you're never going to get out of Jerusalem alive, Paul. But God said, oh, you'll testify. So that was a glimmer of hope, boy, Paul grabbed a hold of. Where'd he end up? Rome. You look at your Bible map, you'll see, you know, Jerusalem, Rome. A little bit of a stretch, amen. You know, you're not going to get there in your fine Ford automobile. You know, there's a stretch there. But God took care of Paul. Paul was fully persuaded. In verse 21 here, we see that it says, and being fully persuaded. You see, folks, the truth is simply this. Abraham could not have been persuaded away from believing God. Do you believe? I mean, think about the family gatherings. Here come Abraham and Sarah. Hey, God said we're going to have a baby. Yeah, right. No, that's what God said. Abraham believed it. And do you believe there could have been some scoffers and some hee-hee-ha-ha, you know, as they were with Noah in his day? Hey, God said to do this. And they were fully persuaded that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. They couldn't be persuaded otherwise. You see, we could be persuaded. Did God really say that? Did God really call you to do that? Brother Joe Meyer, did God really save your soul after all? You see, you know that, and you're fully persuaded. But that does not stop the devil from coming along and say, hey, you see, your God ain't so good after all. The devil's a liar. What did he have to say to Eve? Hath God said? Ho-hum. Hath God said? And that gets the wheels turned. Well, and then we go back to the carnal thought. And carnal thought, well, maybe God isn't so good. Well, God is good. Don't believe the lies of the devil. What I'm saying here is be fully persuaded when those scoffers show up and Satan shows up in some form and tries to persuade you away from your belief in Christ and try to convince you otherwise or get you to skip church or get you to shy away from your Bible and your prayer life and shy away from Christian service. Don't believe it. Be fully persuaded. Be fully persuaded. Paul was not persuaded. I know whom I believed. Amen. When I got saved, you know, there was no reason to go looking around for anything else. Well, maybe there's another truth out there. Well, no, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, once Jesus saved me, I knew. I had no reason to look for anything else. I am fully persuaded God saved my soul. Abraham was fully persuaded. How's your persuasion? You see, Satan will work hard to plant seeds of doubt in your life. We'll have times when people disagree with our faith. You may have experienced that already this year. People disagree with your faith. What about this, folks? If someone separates from you because of your identification with Jesus Christ? I'm not saying those are not easy things, but those are real things. Oh, you're a Christian? Okay. All right. What are we going to do? Be fully persuaded. And understand there's a remnant. Amen. There's a church family that believes like you, loves you. Amen. There's examples in the Bible. Men fully persuaded, ladies fully persuaded to trust God and serve God. Abraham, we see. Paul, we see. Noah, we see all these folks. We're fully persuaded. We're fully persuaded to be faithful and serve the Lord. We see Abraham was. He is the topic of the message today. Are you fully persuaded to remain faithful to the Lord? Fully persuaded. Can someone talk you out of it? Well, they shouldn't be able to. We're strong in the faith. We're giving the glory to God and being fully persuaded. These are the things that Abraham had in his life. And so, simply this, folks, I believe that God's desire for us this year, simple message, threefold sermon. Number one, be strong in the faith. Be strong in the faith. Believe God. Okay. Well, trust your own understanding. Be diligent at recognizing the difference between the two. You say, well, how do we do that, Brother Jameson? Pray. Okay. You know, we talk about formulas. Well, you know, sometimes there's not always a formula. But there is the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Praise God for Him. He'll guide us and teach us. And sometimes there might be, and you can trust that's God. Okay. No, don't do that. Do this. Okay. Do this. You know, read your Bible. Pray. Listen to the counsel of your pastor. You know, God's given us a pastor for a reason. Amen. Pastor is a gift from God. The church is a gift. You know, we can avoid a lot of problems in life. We get godly counsel. Amen. But Abraham did this. He was strong in the faith. He gave glory to God. He was fully persuaded. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father.